Hi, I'm Austin Healy, and it's time to clear a few things up on the Egg Chasers podcast.
I'm Jay.
Welcome to episode 21 of the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast with me, Tim, him, JB.
Hi, Tim.
And him, Phil.
Hi, Tim.
That was Austin Healy and, being interrupted by his wingman, Ben Kay, there. And it was those two members of BT Sport that were at the AJ Bell Stadium, along with the rest of the BT team, who we were invited down by, and you're going to get a little bit of behind-the-scenes action from the BT Sport team after a weekend of Premiership Rugby. We'll be looking back at the Premiership Rugby, we'll be looking ahead to the Six Nations and further Premiership games, and we've got a few bits of correspondence from the last podcast that we've got to deal with, so let's open up our mailbag. Thank you very much. You can always get in touch with us by tweeting at Rugby Podcast. You can start a little talking point and might get the ball rolling on something for the next podcast, or you can react to anything you hear on the current podcast. And we did our lookalike 15 last week, and some people have said some that we've missed, some good ones as well, like Charlie Hodgson looking like Dan Aykroyd from Ghostbusters, which is a really good lookalike.
From Stereo Mike.
Yeah, and also Will Greenwood and Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. That's how he got his nickname, Shaggy. He is an absolute ringer for him.
That was from Anthony Green. Thank you.
And I like that Clive Woodward one.
Yeah, Chris Jane, at Chris Jane, said Clive Woodward looks like Harry Potter's arch nemesis, Voldemort.
That is very good. And then we've had a lot, I'll tell you what, we've had a lot of reaction in the week to the news that Sam Burgess's move to Bath Rugby has been confirmed. There was a bit of controversy to start with this, so just to recap what's happened, Sam Burgess is slamming Sam, is an amazing rugby league player. He's moving to Bath to start next season. But it turned out that the RFU didn't get in touch with every Premiership club and said, do you fancy having Sam Burgess? We'll pay the £500,000 transfer, which meant some Premiership clubs have absolutely kicked off, as you can imagine, Gloucester being one of them, and have said, that's not fair.
Gloucester, of course.
All right, I'm sure you're going to send us £500,000 check in the post, aren't you, the RFU? The RFU have backtracked and said, okay, we're not paying for it. And Bruce Craig has
stepped up.
Dug a little bit deeper into his millions and said,
deeper? You mean skim the surface? Is that what you mean?
Go on then, I'll stump up the £500,000. So anyway, he's going to Bath Rugby.
Yeah, well, that's the only way it could be done, because I'm sure if an individual showed up from Newcastle Rugby and said, Sam Burgess, do you want to come? The door would be firmly and powerfully slammed in his face.
A lot of the reaction has been just basically giving Phil a load of stick, going, typical back.
No.
Back thinks that Sam Burgess will come and just be able to slot in at a second row.
To be fair to Phil, there are two views here. One is that we should bring him in and, you know, utilise his skills in the way that he's world-class in doing and being a ball-handling centre. And there's Phil's an idiotic plan, which is to move him to a position that he's never played before and hope for the best.
Well, he's a second row in rugby league. He can be a second row in union.
I can imagine him starfishing as he's been lifted by Dan Cole.
Now, a lot of people are saying that I don't appreciate just how technically difficult second row is, but I think I understand it perfectly. You're either bending over and pushing or stood up and jumping. And if he doesn't know what to do, he just looks for the other tallest guy on the pitch and copies what he's doing. It's absolutely fine.
Damn it, that's it, you've nailed it.
Nailed it.
But no, to be fair, Phil, in your defence, you have come up with one example of probably the most successful decorated rugby player on planet Earth.
Yeah, a lot of people on Twitter have said that it's only worked for back three players like Folau, like Robinson, like Ashton. But yeah, probably the most decorated and arguably the best ever convert is Brad Thorne, who has won Super Rugby with Crusaders. He's won the Tri Nations, he's won the World Cup, and he's won the Heineken Cup. Can you name someone who's done more than that?
No.
No.
And for the record, still playing and captain of Crusaders.
He's at Highlanders, not Crusaders, no.
Oh, is he at Highlanders?
Yeah. Yeah, at 39.
Yeah. Settled.
So there's loads of rugby to talk about over the weekend, but did either of you two play over the weekend, Phil?
No.
Not injured. Don't tell me you're injured.
Thank goodness I'm not injured again. Not after 1 week. Rained off.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Waterlogged pitch.
And JB?
Hooker against Warrington.
You played hooker?
Fifth game of the season at hooker.
Wow.
We lost by 3 points.
How's the throwing in?
Throwing in the easy bit.
Fair enough. Right, well, listen, I have a game of rugby social. So, you know, there's rugby socials going in rugby clubs up and down the land. This is Rugby Social, where I look at the social media of professional rugby players and questions based on what they've been tweeting about. So, Phil, First question, and this relates to a tweet sent by London Irish Loosehead prop in their victory over in the last 2 weeks, actually, over Saracens and London Wasps. More on that in a bit. Matt Parr. He was excited about which new product that he's got. Mm. Was it Coke Zero? The first time he's tried it and he really liked it. Was it Happy Eggs for his post-game omelette? Or was it Palmer's cocoa butter for a relaxing Sunday bath? That's Matt Parr from London Irish. What do you reckon, JB?
I have no idea.
I'm going to go for the cocoa butter. Palmer's cocoa butter.
A hairy, grizzly, loose-head prop.
I can just imagine himself getting lathered up.
You can?
Really? Do you want to go to that darkened room next door on your own for that?
Happy Eggs. What are Happy Eggs?
It's just a brand of eggs.
Aren't they just, yeah.
Well, he's not going to be excited on a brand. Or is he? No one gets excited about Coke Zero. Cocoa butter.
You going for cocoa butter?
Yes, I am.
Correct?
Yes. What was the tweet?
Loving my new Palmer's cocoa butter. And he tweeted that on Sunday, the day after the London Irish victory over Wasps. Next question then, and this one from Carl Ferns. Carl Ferns has been tweeting that he's considering selling what? A signed England Saxons jersey for charity, a mobile phone with Flappy Bird on it, or his first car, a rusted Fiat Punto. Carl Ferns, the Bath and England Saxons flanker.
Flappy Birds.
His mobile phone with Flappy Birds on it.
I was tempted to go for that, but I don't really want to copy. I'll go for the England shirt England Saxons shirt for charity.
England Saxons shirt? No, wrong. The mobile phone with Flappy Bird.
In your face.
Carl Ferns wants to sell his phone for £10,000 if you're interested. Get in touch with Bath Rugby Club for that one. Next tweet comes from Danny Cipriani.
Can I have double points if I guess what it is before you read it?
Go on.
Nesquik.
Cheers.
Cheers. Nesquik chocolate.
No, that's not the answer. This one is, after a chance meeting over the weekend, who did Danny Cipriani take a liking to? Was it Mayor of London Boris Johnson? Was it former Newcastle United and Tottenham footballer David Ginola? Hmm. Or was it Kelly Brook's boyfriend, ex-gladiator David McIntosh?
This is a great question.
Danny Cipriani, after a chance meeting over the weekend, took a shine to who?
Where's he been?
Boris Johnson, David Ginola, Kelly Brook's boyfriend, David McIntosh.
Has he been to BT Sport recently? No. I'm going to say Boris Johnson.
I'm going to go for Ginola. Because they were on BT Sport together on Saturday morning.
Damn it!
It was David Ginola.
Yes!
That means today's game is a draw.
Do you not have a tiebreaker?
No, I don't have a tiebreaker. It's a draw. That was Rugby Social. So let's talk Premiership then. Danny Cipriani, Carl Ferns wasn't involved actually, and Matt Parr were both involved in some Premiership action, two of the televised games actually as well. But what caught your eye over the weekend, obviously we were, and we'll get onto this in a moment, we were invited by BT Sport to be guests at the Sale Sharks v Saracens game. So maybe we'll save and talk about that one in a minute. So what else caught your eye over the weekend?
Kind of the turgid display in Welford Road. Leicester won by pure grit, but Gloucester offered very little, probably nothing.
Gloucester's try, Sharpel's try, was very good, wasn't it?
Really good.
Kind of half outside break by Trinder, pass to Thomas, and then back inside to Sharpel. That looked really good.
What they're missing?
But their scrum just fell apart.
But I think turgid was probably a good description. However, the game at Sandy Park was probably anything but turgid.
Yeah, that was excellent, wasn't it? Some really good tries by both teams.
Exeter keep coming out on the wrong side of a narrow defeat.
Yes. And then every time they play, they look like a good team. They're just not doing it. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I've gone from them winning the Premiership to not making the playoffs.
Well, top six they'd want to be looking at the minute. That's looking dicey at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they've had a real bad patch of form. But like you say, they're getting in the arm wrestle. They're getting right there and then just not quite converting.
Rob Baxter looked a bit confused. He was just saying the players are doing stuff we don't coach. They're not following, they're not executing the plan we give them.
But they are, though, in a way, aren't they? I mean, they're playing well. I mean, they come off and these aren't shameful performances. They're not like, yeah, we need to overhaul it. They've got the core of a good team and they play well.
No, I think what Rob Baxter said, decisions are being made on the field which are not what we do and what we plan for. Some of the decision making is not being done.
That must be infuriating for him.
But no, but George Ford, we've talked about it before. We've got to have George Ford on the bench this weekend against Ireland, surely.
Absolutely. Because he can change a game. Create those half breaks or those full breaks that set up tries. He's playing really, really well.
And more than that, if after 20 minutes Owen Farrell gets injured and goes off, do you want 60 minutes of Alex Goode?
Oh, he's a solid player.
Yeah, but solid isn't, doesn't pay any bills. But there are so many players that I take ahead of Goode. So many.
I also went to London Irish visiting London Wasps. And fair play London Irish, looking really struggling earlier in the season. But that's two back-to-back victories away from home at Saracens and London Wasps. That's backing it up. And London Irish definitely deserved it, even with 30-odd minutes down to 14 men for the red card from Tomas O'Leary. But what I really liked was the honesty of Di Young. I don't think there's a more honest director of rugby in the Aviva Premiership. It feels like I need some sad music as I talk about this, but just have a listen to Di Young's dissection when I chatted to him after the game.
I thought Irish showed more intent and more aggression in everything they did today. And I thought we lost all the collisions, both with and without the ball. Got fed out in a really at the tackle area, I think. You know, in all reality, I didn't think we looked like achieving much, really. I don't think we probably got past three or four phases all game, really. I thought, as I said, going into the last 10 minutes with a win behind you, you know, you'd like to think that you got enough about us to go and win that game, but today we just didn't do it.
He's the opposite of Dean Ryan with Dean Ryan. We're getting better. We keep getting better.
Definitely getting better.
He's like, yeah, we were terrible. Everything was bad.
Who did Worcester play this year? Well, this week, sorry.
This year. Well, the Worcester-Northampton game was the only one that didn't finish within 5 points. The teams didn't finish within 5 points of each other.
It was tight, wasn't it? All the games.
All the games besides that one where Northampton won 30-14. Worcester didn't help themselves by having Jonathan Thomas red carded.
It was a punch, but you've got to look at Sam Dickinson and the way he took that punch.
It was a punch to the face, but it wasn't a great punch to the face. There was hardly any contact.
It was like a haymaker that you get at 2:30 outside a pub where someone's so drunk they can't actually see the person they're trying to hit.
They also stop halfway through and just barely make contact.
Yeah. I hate this. I hate it so much. I hate all this litigious stuff. And we were playing on Saturday and someone grabbed one of our guys by the collar. And we're all up in arms, like footballers. High tackle, high tackle. This obsession with letter of the law has got to stop. It has to stop. It's awful. Back in the day, it'd be Sam Dickinson sent off for bringing the game into disrepute, and that's exactly what should be now. He should be dragged in front of a panel and then suspended. The prop for Gloucester, the Polynesian lad, who is he?
Perfiti.
Him. He made an incredible hit on a Leicester player. Absolutely smashed him. The referee stopped the game, went upstairs and asked for foul play for a big hit. Yeah, they go upstairs and they come back and go, no foul play reported. Most people watch rugby because in their day-to-day job, they do things like, I don't know, stick to rules. We want to see heads coming off, and it just makes me despair.
But what we don't want to see, which kind of where Sam Dickinson touches on...
I know for a fact I could not take a punch from Jonathan Thomas, but I do think Sam Dickinson should be seriously censored, fined or banned for the game.
I think you could have taken that punch. It wasn't a proper punch. It was like a get-off-me.
Yeah, still, I'm not going to risk it.
Is there more gamesmanship or conning the referee or appealing? Is that starting to creep in a bit more?
It is. I think as money pressures grow and pressures on coaches grow and they just want to win, it's inevitable. But
has it not always been there? And They always used to say about the streetwise old forwards who'd be...
That was enjoyable. I mean, I don't mind watching people cheat. And the whole point is, right, if you're going to cheat, you've got to do it behind the ref's back. But now we've got all these hawk-eyed...
You make it sound like a pantomime, like, ooh, the Nazi man just cheating behind his back.
Another Premiership game, again, the one that was... It was the Friday night match in the... Funnily enough, it was raining in the northwest of England, in Salford. It was horrible conditions once again at the AJ Bell Stadium. It was just a win for Saracens. They deserved the win. Charlie Hodgson slotted the goals and whatnot.
You put quite a downward spin on that. I really enjoyed that game. I thought it was actually quite an interesting game to watch.
Yeah, I enjoyed it as well. Maybe it was just the glitz and glamour of being in between the two dugouts.
Yes, maybe.
And having the VIP drinks lounge where we could
make a hot
Bovril at half-time.
I made a Bovril for Saracens coach. One of the things which I saw in the Sale game, and I can relate this directly to like my level of rugby because it happened to us a few weeks ago, was that we were defeated by Birkenhead Park comfortably when they were playing basically one-up rugby. And from what I saw in the Sale game, it was exactly the same, which is one-up rugby. And the reason that's important is because you can only beat another team with one-up rugby if you're seriously, seriously good. Every man on that field has got to be better than his opposite man.
Well, every man to one out from the standoff has to be seriously better than...
They were just relentless. And I think that was the difference. Like, the sheer quality of their squad means they don't have to have a complex game plan to win games. They can just bludgeon you to death with...
That said, they should have put the game to bed. Duncan Taylor should have scored twice.
Yeah.
And Mark Cueto should have been in the bin and a penalty try in the first 5 minutes. So
it
could have been a load more comfortable for Saracens.
Big thing for me for Saracens, though, was the strength of their bench. The players that they brought on, when Sale were bringing on, like, Ross Harrison and Will Cliff, Saracens were bringing on...
Neil de Kock,
Schalk Brits, James Johnson, like, international stars.
Now, here's a bit of a naff thing to say. Did anyone think that all the Saracens are very happy to be Saracens?
Yeah.
Like, a very tight team.
Absolutely.
You might think, travelling on a Friday night from your nice, comfortable home in St Albans all the way up to Salford when it's freezing and pouring down, they'd be a bit annoyed about it, but they were really upbeat, really happy. They were going on a bit of a night out in Manchester, staying over in Manchester, having a few beers afterwards.
Yeah, just like, and also if you listen to the respective change rooms, because we were outside both of them.
Yeah,
like the atmosphere in that Saracens camp is just overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah,
they're all happy to be there. You've got a feeling they're a real team.
I completely agree with that. But in fact, I've got a clip of it here because we were stood outside the changing room after the game. That's the door shutting, by the way. I think they're downing it. Also,
jug,
they're downing
jug,
some
jug.
Drinks. They're jug, aren't they? So they're downing it. They're downing drinks within 5 minutes of the end of a match.
Yeah. This was straight after coming off, wasn't it?
Yeah, this is actually...
And then... So I can confirm they still do that after victories.
Do you know what's really funny? BT Sport, that wonderful broadcaster, had Alex Goode on 1 week, and they asked him, like, what is that song that Saracens are singing? Because you'd all see him, but you couldn't hear him. And he refused to say what the song was. I understand it now. It's not that you refuse to say it. You literally could not describe that to someone else.
No.
What song are you saying?
It's Licky Ticky Tonga, Massa Massa Wire.
Yeah, you can understand it.
The only time that the Sale team look like a team and they look happy is when Steve Diamond's looking directly at them and they force a high five. Happy boss.
Well, it's interesting. Sorry, Phil, I'm going to say something. But I was just going to say that it's a weird one because actually when I was at London Wasps, London Irish, I was watching Elliot Daly at fullback for London Wasps thinking, this kid is special. He is a hell of a talent. And then going, where's Rob Miller going to play in this team when they've got everyone available? And I just thought, actually, he's a guaranteed starter for Sale. And I don't know if he's going to be a guaranteed starter or anywhere near it for Wasps.
I think he absolutely won't be. Well, with Van Dellen Wade on the wings.
I have nothing to back this view up, but what I suspect is going on at Sale at the moment is all the players in training are writing on notes, get me out of here, and throwing it over the Carrington fence to agents, or putting messages in bottles and throwing them in the Mersey.
Doesn't seem to be a fashionable place to be, yeah. Does it?
James Gaskell, call. Get me out of here.
Speaking of James Gaskell, his legs are normal size. He's 6'7" and he's got normal sized legs.
A very long body.
So we saw him stood next to Dan Breed, who's probably 5'11", 6 foot. Not he's very well built.
At least half a foot shorter.
Yeah.
At least.
And their legs, their waists were exactly the same height. But it's just their bodies were completely different.
Very long body. Looking a bit bigger though, because everyone said that he's
bulked up a bit.
Yeah, not bulking effort.
Playing very well at 8. I know, again, watching Wasp, I think they've signed him as a number 8.
Because they've got Sam Jones playing there. And they had Haskell at 7 and Johnson at 6, which isn't a balanced back row, in my opinion, is it?
Not particularly.
Sam Jones.
Well, I mean, it balanced on a seesaw, but nothing else.
One last thing from the Sale Saracens game. Me and Jay were stood in the tunnel as the players came out for the match, and Jay was doe-eyed staring at Jacques Berger as he passed.
Incredible specimen.
Jacques Berger was actually bleeding before he got onto the pitch.
Jay has got misty-eyed again.
Well, and also they were saying that the first 3 games of the year he's had to be stitched up on his face.
five times in the first four games he was stitched up five
That's
times
it, yeah,
according
yeah.
to the Saracens medical staff.
Yeah,
and they were exhausted.
One of the guys that was in the tunnel as well, when we mentioned Jacques Berger, we were laughing about how much Jay loved him. He was going, he's got a screw loose, that fella. He's actually mad. That was the Saracen's own description of Jacques Berger. Right, that's the Premiership then. And like you said, we were at Sale Sharks v Saracens as guests of BT Sport, which meant we got access to everywhere. The press conferences, the tunnel, and, as you're about to hear, the broadcast truck. We went and met Alex Corbisiero's sister. It was very nice, and she showed
didn't
us
rap
around.
For us, though, did,
sorry,
didn't rap for us.
She didn't rap.
We didn't
for
ask
us.
Her. We failed her.
Well, that's all right, Jay. We can do the real deal here. Hold on. Here he is. Here's your boy.
Keep it kind of quiet. People on a diet. Scrum is straight, term is right. I don't deny it. Test me, try it. Style, you don't buy it. I'ma grab the microphone and start to fly it.
So I can only imagine that Claudia Corbisiero is equally as good, but she's very good at her job for BT Sport, and she helped us go and have a little natter with Alistair Eakin, the commentator. And we had a really, really good chat with him. Here it is.
Well, we're in the inner sanctum of BT Sport here, in the broadcast truck, post-game, with the anchor, the main man commentator, Alistair Eakin.
Hi, how are you doing? Nice to see you.
Very good. See, we said we wanted the big talent, so we've ditched off Ben Kay, Oz, all the rest of it, and we've got you.
Yeah, the reality is they've all gone home. I'm the last man standing.
Yeah, how does it work post-game? Because there's not too much to talk about with the match. We're after Saracens did a job on Sale, but a bit of an ugly game, not a classic that's going to live long in the memory.
No, I think in fact I've forgotten it already. It was one of those winter slogs, wasn't it? And kind of intriguing in its own way, but we're all kind of waiting for springtime, aren't we? A bit firmer ground, ball in hand. It was fun in as much as, you know, two heavy packs going at it. But yeah, maybe one for the purist.
But I'm quite fascinated about how the team works. You mentioned the talent slope off. Are you the straight man and they're the clowns?
Very straight, yeah. Very straight. I mean, they've obviously, Austin and Ben have worked a long time together, so they have a sort of natural rhythm to the way they work, so I'm just kind of getting to know that, I guess. And they are ruthless when it comes to any kind of innuendo on commentary, and today I fell into a massive hole, which...
So to speak.
Yeah, well... yeah, there you go again. You see how easy it is. Yeah. But you just mention a word that could be misconstrued in a different way, and you're in so much trouble. And they just stand there giggling, microphones by their side, just, you know, shoulders heaving with laughter. And I'm stuck there, there's nothing, there's nowhere to go. There's nothing you can do. You just have to suck it up, I guess, and get on with it. But it's good fun. And they normally knock around for a little bit post match, but when you come to Sale on a Friday night, I guess getting away is one of the key elements.
No, we've got to live here, Alistair. We've got to live here. JB, you've seen Ben Kay and Oz doing their after dinner speaking, and they're a proper double act, aren't they?
To be fair, the double act is probably one of the funniest after dinner things
I've ever seen. It was absolutely brilliant.
So who's got the worst chat out of the team? Come on.
The worst chat? Oh, dear. Well, I tell you what, you have to be quick, because they're all quick-witted. You know, they've got a line for you. So if you're slow, if you're a little bit off the pace, if you've had a late night, or, you know, you're not really concentrating and tuned in, they can pick you off in an instant. So I'd probably be right at the bottom of the heap for chat. Lawrence sometimes gets called out now and then, if I'm being honest. I wouldn't tell him that to his face. He doesn't listen, does he? It's one of those things, you know, in a team environment, you need the banter, and it's good fun. And, I think we try and get the balance right. Try.
Yeah.
So, obviously, with your role, you're going to Leicester, great ground, Bath, one of the great sports grounds probably in the world, Northampton. How excited do you get when you see AJ Bell Stadium?
Are you looking for me to fall into another trap?
It's not the
greatest of spots, is it? I don't think the fans, you know, they don't like it here. Clearly, the numbers are down, aren't they? I think it's a problem, but you know, there's no easy solution. You'd like to think that with Sale doing well, they'll get the numbers back up, and you know the fans will start to flood in again. But it's difficult, and yeah, it's a bit of an outpost,
So, how does it work, Alistair? Like after a game now, you said you've come to the wondrous Salford AJ Bell Stadium. Do you all not kick back in a hotel, have a couple of nightcaps?
We are going to go back to the hotel, and hopefully there'll be a nightcap there. But we've got a pretty early start, because we're down to Exeter tomorrow. The Exeter Bath match.
On a plane?
That is on a plane, yeah.
Are these guys in the truck going all the way, driving through the night?
Well, some are. There's a variety. It's planes, trains and automobiles.
We're getting a big nod from one of the engineers.
Yeah. No, I think there's a variety of different, you know, methods by which people are making it down there. Of course, the weather's not helping. Half the country's underwater. we're getting a plane, a handful of us. So I'm quite pleased about that.
But on the plus side, you get to watch Exeter Bath, which will be awesome.
Yeah, well, that should be a belter. I'm really hoping. I mean, providing we don't get another storm come our way, and that place gets lashed, doesn't it, with the best of them. So hopefully it'll be a little bit drier, and we'll maybe see a little bit more rugby.
Do you have a team yourself, so to speak, or one that's
I'm from Gloucestershire, so Gloucester are my team. They're the team I supported as a kid, and they're the team I look out for.
Did you see Ryan Walkinshaw saying anything less than fourth is a failure, top six is the minimum we should ever expect?
Well, I wouldn't want to be Nigel Davis hearing that, because they're in trouble. And they have been in trouble for a long time, haven't they? They've had a terrible season. You ask any of the guys working here, they all did. You probably saw at the start of the season, they put those envelopes together where everybody put in their top four or top six, etc., and who was going to be bottom. And I think if you open those envelopes now, you're going to get a bit of a shock, because a lot of people had Gloucester in the certainly top six and pushing for that fourth spot, I think. So they've got a lot of work to do. And I mean, Nigel Davis, to be honest, right now, he looks like a bit of a beaten man. Every time he comes before the cameras, he has a kind of rather sallow look about him, which troubles me a bit as a Gloucester supporter. And you want to see them doing well, don't you? They've got such incredible talent there. I want to see Ben Morgan on the front foot. I want to see Kvesic, you know, pushing Robshaw for that seven shirt with England. I want to see Sinbad and Trinder and all these guys carving it up. And they're a shadow of themselves at the moment.
How much do you think the transfers of Afoa and Hibbard, how much difference do you think that'll make?
I think make a big difference because their pack has been going backwards for a long time, hasn't it, this season? And that will be shored up, no question about it. But I think their troubles run a little bit deeper than that. And I'd like to see one more nasty man added to their pack.
Second row, back row?
Yeah, preferably a second row. I think they've got enough back rows. You've got Morgan, Kvesic, you've got Callum Afoni, you've got others who can slot in there. Stooks coming along really well, I think. I'd like to see one more grizzled hard man somewhere.
Well, I mean, the good news is Dean Ryan should be available, so...
Yeah, will he put his boots on again? He'd probably still get picked.
Ali, great to speak to you. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Great pleasure.
And we look forward to catching you again.
Good luck, guys.
There you go, and thank you very much to Alistair Eakin and to everyone at BT Sport for having us. Now it's time to move on. We're going to talk about Six Nations in a minute, as you'd imagine, with the big games coming up this coming weekend. But right now, a game of Scott Quinnell Bingo. You ready for this, boys?
Ooh. Oh, yes, please.
Should we play Quinnell Bingo?
Yes.
So
yes.
I've got a little clip of Scott Quinnell, one of his rousing speeches from School of Hard Knocks. And Phil and JB, you're going to bid how many words you can
say that Scott Quinnell will say in his...
Should we pick three each? Or
three
four?
Four on,
yeah, you take it in turns.
Okay. I'm going to go with pride.
Pride? Pride slash proud, all right.
Family.
Believe.
Believe or belief.
Phil.
Believe.
I'm going to go for warriors.
Ooh, I don't think that's coming up. Passion.
Belief, passion, and pride. And so far, Phil got family, warriors.
And I'm going to go for dragon.
Unleash the dragon.
I've unleashed the dragon. I know you really want to unleash the dragon.
Let's hear. Right, well, so you've got, so JB's gone pride, belief, passion. Phil, family, warriors, dragon. Let's have a listen. This is Scott Quinnell bingo.
I'm just so excited. I don't know whether it's a bit of nerves, anticipation. It's going to be a battle.
Oh.
8 weeks ago, nerves. You made the choice to walk through that door. I want an opportunity in life.
Opportunity,
I want to go out and I want to be a better rugby player. I want to be a better person. But more importantly, I want to be part of something that will change not only mine, but the rest of our lives.
Lives is coming
I'm
up
so
a lot.
I'm so proud of you, lad.
Proud, James!
Yes!
We've highs, we've had lows. The butterflies, those nerves in your stomach, if they are there now, when we walk out that door, they turn to dragons. Because they get bigger and they get stronger.
That isn't a biological
and
fact.
And those dragons this year, I am convinced, are going to breathe fire. We are going to go out and we are going to be School of Hard Knocks, the team that brings home the Fit Gang. Come on!
Hang on. Did he say they're going to bring home the bacon? We're going to bring home the bacon! The
thing is, he actually means that. Get yourself to Tesco's now! Smoked back bacon, extra thick! Grill it! Put it on a piece of bread! I want tomato ketchup!
If Scott Quinnell tells you to get some bacon, you're going to go and get some bacon.
On your dragon.
Oh, brilliant.
One all.
JB got pride and Phil got dragon.
I never thought dragon would come up again.
Neither did I, to be honest.
Also, his grasp on biology is fairly ropey. Butterflies do not turn into dragons. Wouldn't hear Attenborough saying that, that's for sure.
All right. Well, listen, we've talked Premiership, but let's talk Six Nations. And kind of a little something related to the Six Nations, but also whilst we link it to the Premiership again, Dan Cole's not going to be playing for England against Ireland.
Huge blow. And I say that not because I think Dan Cole is an exceptional player, but because I think the cover is, well, Thomas is a little inexperienced and Wilson played his first game at the weekend for Bath in 3-4 months. He looked overweight and unfit. The end of the first half, he was walking about the pitch and he got taken off no more than 10 minutes into the second half. So to ask him to start against Ireland, I think is too much.
Richard Cockerell said, I mentioned this in previous podcasts, Richard Cockerell once said the most important position in his team is tight head prop. The second most important position in his team is reserve tight head prop.
Yeah.
So it is a massively important position in rugby, and against Key and Healy,
yeah,
whoever starts for England at tight head prop has got their work cut out, and it could be a really, really influential aspect to the game. So losing Dan Cole and his 50-odd caps of experience is massive.
That many caps, is it?
It's 45 caps.
45 caps, beg your pardon.
The one thing I will say about Lancaster is he does it his own way, and you've got to respect him for that. And he's decided Dan Cole's his prop, and so, you know, off he goes. Fine. I actually think Matt Stevens is one that he wants to look at as a replacement, at least. Maybe start with Wilson, have Stevens on the bench.
If Wilson hadn't been injured, I would say Wilson. I thought he's been playing really well at the start of the season, and if you saw any of the game tape of him from the summer tour of Argentina, where he was the first choice because Dan Cole was with the Lions, he was excellent. He was really good against
Argentina.
The very good Argentinian props.
If you assume that Matt Stevens is retired and will remain so, and he's not available, you would have to say there's a lot of young, unproven tight head props. Well, I say a lot. There's a few unproven young tight head props.
Yeah.
Henry Thomas being currently the best of those, according to the England coach.
Yeah.
And he is a special talent. I've watched him for a few years now. He is a special talent. His all-round game, he's a proper modern-day prop. But he's going to have to do the scrummaging against Kieran Healy.
Yeah, and he's not played that much. Kobylas has started more games than him for Sale.
Yeah.
In the last 3 weeks, Henry Thomas has only played about 20 minutes of rugby. Mm. So if you're asking him to start and play presumably 60 minutes, I don't think he's got that in him at the moment.
So basically what you're saying is you've got an unfit David Wilson, you've got an undercooked Henry Thomas,
yeah.
Matt Stevens not being available. Who else is there?
Harlequins have got, they've got three English tight heads. Will Collier, who's been starting for most of the season, but is now injured. He's been injured for about a month. Paul Doran-Jones, who's been starting, but not looking great. Newcastle have got Kieran Brooks.
Who's, not an option.
Who's 23, who's solid. He had a spell at Leicester, didn't he?
I played against Kieran Brooks.
Have you?
Yeah, he played for Fylde when we played him in the Cup.
Right.
He's quite good.
Wasps have got Jake Cooper-Woolley, who's 24. He's only really been around this season. I don't think he played too much before that. I've seen a bit of him this season. I don't really rate him that highly.
No.
I definitely have Collier ahead of him. I definitely have Henry Thomas ahead of him. Possibly Kieran Brooks.
But so is that basically what we're saying? That actually, an underprepared, maybe slightly ring-rusty Henry Thomas and an unfit, underprepared David Wilson are the only and best options we have against Ireland?
If you assume that Matt Stevens has ruled himself out. Because yeah. I would like to see Lancaster bring him into the squad. We've got games to win right now.
Yeah, exactly. That's what international rugby should all be about.
I think Stevens would give us the best opportunity to do that.
That goes back to my point, which I don't think international rugby should be ran like club rugby, which is, let's blood him early, let's develop him through, get into international class. No, you pick the international class player. Whoever is best at that position at that time, regardless of age, plays. At the moment, Saracens are preferring Stevens to Johnson. So, he's still got it. He must have it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was only last year, like 8-9 months ago, that he was on a Lions tour.
Yeah. And before he was banned, he was making some serious headway.
Yeah. With a head that size. No surprise. So a massive Swede.
They have a problem, but they also have a solution. It's just whether they decide to use that solution.
Mm.
But how do you see it panning out? I think that's a slight game changer, potentially, for the Saturday's match, Ireland visiting Twickenham.
Me too. Genuinely, prior to this, I would have put England as marginal favourites because they're at home. Now, I think Ireland will really attack the English scrum. They'll win penalties from it, and that with a Sexton kicking corners and sticks, I think they'll win the game. Back Ireland this weekend.
I think I do now as well.
Mm.
It's amazing.
I really want England to win.
How big an influence that is. But
to open up the tournament. Ireland win this, they've still got to go to France for the final game of the season.
Let's just play it safe and have an England win. And that'd be great. A Welsh victory on the Friday, an England win, and then all is right with the world.
Oh, yes, Friday night rugby.
Friday.
Love it.
Do you?
I think
it's a terrible idea.
Personally.
I think it's great, yeah.
No, I think they should all be on Saturdays, and it should start at like 12 o'clock and go all the way through to the evening. You watch three games back to back.
I'm happy with it on Friday, because, we'll be playing on Saturday, so... Well, sorry, I'm playing on Saturday, so...
No, I'm not.
How do you see that one going, Wales-France, then? You're a Welshman, JB. What are you thinking? Is it just patriotism here? Because it's tough.
I don't know. I mean, we've had the better of them for the last few years. They're coming to our place. So I honestly don't know. I've got a sneaking suspicion we might capitulate to France.
I've not been that impressed by France, though. I've really not. I said this last week, and they beat Italy by 20 points. But they only scored three long-range tries. They were opportunistic and well-finished, but they weren't as dominant as I expected them to be.
If there's one thing Wales have proven their ability to do, it's to dig deep and find some resolve.
Well, if you just unleash a dragon, that'd be fine.
So I'm going to go for Wales on Friday night.
I fancy Wales at home.
I hope you're right. I don't know.
Get the pyrotechnics going there in the millennium, shut the roof.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And then the potential wooden spoon decider.
Yes, this is a tasty game for other reasons.
In Italy.
I'm hoping more than anything, above all the rugby, above the result, I'm hoping Italy wear their change kit so we can see the so we can see Sergio Parisse
at home or
just running out at home. Running out with the majestic white Italy change kits
all looking
to add to their majestic blue kit.
All looking like race cars.
Oh, it's a beautiful sight. It's a beautiful sight. But Scotland were terrible.
Yeah. I wonder if all this criticism of the Scotland team is going to really backfire on someone. Like, they're going to come out and have a stormer. Because they are all professional players. They do all have pride.
I'm just thinking about the times when it's actually happened. Like, they beat England a few years ago when it was pouring down.
Oh,
and Dan Parks just put high balls up and kicked the corners. And it would just... Oh, it was awful to watch.
I really like those games.
But that's the only way I can see Scotland winning at the moment.
Well, I was going to say, they could play really well. They could play brilliantly, but scoring tries is what they can't do.
Yeah.
Well, they need Kelly Brown back. I mean, why would you drop your captain?
And why would you take...
Well, Fazzaro did play quite well.
He might have, but Kelly Brown's the captain, and he's an absolute specimen. And
yeah,
after
he played really well.
Seeing him on Friday up close in the flesh, you realise what a good player he is.
Scotland, if they had both Maitland and Visser on the wings, they'd look a lot more dangerous. But those two are big blows. I'm going to go for a home win. Italy win.
We're going Wales, Italy, Ireland.
Yeah.
Well, I've got some rugby okie to finish off with that's related to England-Ireland. And this is a Ronan O'Gara.
Right.
Rog, obviously not going to be involved this time, but this is him singing in a traffic jam in his car.
Singing in a traffic jam in his car?
Yeah.
Who recorded this?
This was for TomTom Satnav.
Oh, right. Wow.
It's kind of a sponsored thing. He's singing. So there's a car full of people, him and some other reprobates. I don't know. They don't look like rugby players to me.
Some very strange things go on across the Irish Sea, don't they?
Yeah.
Very peculiar.
This is Ronan O'Gara singing Queen's I Want to Break Free.
I want to break free. I want to break free.
It's one of his mates. Here goes Ronan.
I want to break free from your lies. You're so self-satisfied.
Oh, God.
I don't need you. I want to break free. God knows I want to break free. I've fallen in love.
Don't dance, Ronan.
This is horrendous. What are they selling here?
Oh, God. Ronan O'Gara's dancing. That's some serious dance moves he's doing.
I wonder if TomTom sales went up on release of this advert.
I have no idea. They should use that for television sales, because I'd definitely smash mine if it came on. That was bizarre.
I think we should salvage the situation by being sung out by something good on the podcast. JB, what should we be sung out by?
Munster? I know, I keep saying that. I love that song.
No, that's fine. We'll do that. Hold on a
minute. Stand up.
It ties in with England-Ireland as well, and it's showing that Ireland is a place of quality music and good tunes, so it's not just all Ronan O'Gara. We'll see you on the next one. Enjoy the rugby, and we'll be back to dissect it all following the weekend's Premiership and Six Nations action. Here is Munster singing us out then with Stand Up and Fight. This is the squad in the changing room following a victory.